Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I have a couple announcements before we get into the message this morning. Fun fact here, do you know that this Sunday is one of the least attended Sundays of the year? I think Memorial Day might take first, but this one is second, so I'm proud of you for all being here. It's good to see you. And I think it's that whole thing between, you know, like Christmas and New Year's, and just like, you know, it feels like there was like this build-up for Christmas, and then Christmas happened, and then it's like, okay, it's almost like we're like in this little bit of a rut now. In fact, I wasn't even sure what day it was. Like, you just kind of lose track. If you're not at work, your days kind of start to blend together. So I'm glad you're here, and we're going to thank you, like, the team there for just the worship that we had. I could have just kept going. You know, it was just so good just to worship God and to sing praise to Him. So, a couple things. We are going to, actually I have the wrong announcements up. Instruction class is starting January 12th. So if you have not signed up yet, there's still time to sign up. So if you want to do that, talk to Gaylord, Brian, or myself, and we'll get you on the list there. The other thing that you might have noticed in the bulletin, we put the pastor's phone numbers in. So it's just something where if you have, just in case you didn't know, Gaylord is our family life pastor. And if you have something where you want to talk with him about pretty well anything, right, Gaylord? I mean, you're available. I think he kind of carves out a time on Fridays to do that. So if you're going through something or you just need someone to talk to, Gaylord is available. And I think, Celestia, I would say for the ladies, same thing there. And if it's a couple, you can talk to them both. But I want to also I just want you to know that there's that available. And actually, for any of us pastors, if you want to call and say, hey, want to grab a cup of coffee, please feel free to do that. We want to make sure we're available with that. The other thing that you should have got handouts in your mailboxes, we are doing a appreciation for Steve and Barb for all their service on January 19th. It's at 6 o'clock in the evening. We really encourage you to be there. And just to, I feel kind of the weight, I have big shoes to fill with Steve retiring here. So we just want to bless them and as they start kind of this new path. And I think we're going to figure that out here in 2025, what all that looks like. And so I encourage you to come to that. So for a sermon text today, we're going to go into 2 Timothy 3, and I'm doing something a little bit different here because I'm not going to do my typical kind of expository preaching where I preach through some verses in the Bible. I was wrestling with this, you know, kind of the start of the new year of you know, we're going to go into 2025 and what to preach about. And one of the things that has just been kind of heavy on my heart, or not just heavy, but just that God just keeps popping up again and again, is just reading the Word. And it kind of happened for me, I would say, in 2020, where I had started this, I did this challenge, and I'm going to open it up to you guys if you want to do it with me this year. I read through the Bible in 30 days. It was kind of this, kind of an extreme. Usually when people jump into January, they start all these workout, you know, fitness programs, and we're going to get fit, and we're going to get strong, and we're going to, you know, take that body and just shred it so it's like this, you know, ultimate machine right now. And I think what we do is we do that physically, but I think sometimes we forget to do it spiritually. And in 2020, I did this reading where I kind of read through the Bible in 30 days, and it honestly started changing my life. It gave me this incredible oversight, or this big picture of what the Bible really is. And once you start reading the Bible like 2 to 3 hours every day, things start jumping out at you and things start popping up and that you just have never seen before. And not only that, is it gives you this like incredible appreciation for the Word of God. And so my message today is called A Love for God's Word. A Love for God's Word. And I'm hoping that after, you know, I'm done speaking, that you'll have this same kind of, I want to create that burning fire in you. And I want you to understand, too, I'm not trying to be critical of you. I am speaking as much to me because I, you know, this is something that I've kind of fought with and wrestled with. But sometimes reading your Bible's tough. Sometimes it's difficult, right? Like, it's not like we sit here and we're just like always pumped to do it. But I think we can develop that where we have this extreme love for God's word. So 2 Timothy 3, well, I'm going to tell you a story first. There was this old man who lived in an apartment, and he had worked his entire life, and as far as people could tell, he never had family, he never was married, never had any kids. He kind of lived in this little apartment, and he had spent his whole life basically going to work and coming home, and did not have much of a social life. In fact, his neighbors said they almost never seen him outside of his house. And he passed away, and there was really nobody to even call. The funeral was kind of, the funeral home just arranged it. Nobody showed up for it. But he died and was buried. And his neighbors were kind of cleaning out his house, or the apartment, because there was nobody there. So they were cleaning it out. And it was very sparsely furnished. There was like a little mattress on the floor and a table and a chair and just not a lot of decorations. But they came to his bedroom, and in his bedroom there was a closet, and they opened this closet, and there was these paper bags, tons of them, and they were full of cash. In fact, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting there. And this guy had lived his whole life basically just storing all this money away, never touching it. And I think sometimes it's a picture of what we have as Christians with the Word of God. We have it in front, we have it at our fingertips, but we don't actually get to enjoy everything that it has for us. You know, we'll come, so we'll bring it on Sunday morning, we'll kind of page through it because the pastor says, hey, you know, turn in your Bibles to this chapter, and we read it then, and maybe we'll sporadically read it through the week, but we don't have this love that we can just enjoy it. And think of how this guy's life could have been so much different. You know, with the money, he could have enjoyed it, he could have, you know, met people, had friends. It could have created an entire, his life story could have been completely different. And so it's a flawed analogy. It's not perfect, but I think that we have this incredible treasure at our fingertips, and it's important that we use it. So let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. And this is kind of given this basis of what the Bible is, what the Word of God is. And it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or you can put woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that's what the Bible is. It's this incredible tool, and it's the words of Jesus, the Word of God, that's given to us to train us, to keep us, it's profitable for teaching, it helps correct us, it trains us in righteousness, and it makes us a complete person. Because without it, we're kind of like almost half. We're like a half person if we're not absorbed in reading the Bible. So one of our goals, or one of my visions here for church, is that we just, and I think we're on the path there. I think we're there. I think we're, you know, we have all the tools. It's just kind of this reminder thing, because I even need it too a lot. I need this reminder of, like, dig into my Bible. What does it look like? How to do it? So I'm hoping that today we can do that. And my vision for church, or my I guess one of our goals, is that we would be this church that's known for how much we read the Bible. Because wouldn't that be amazing, you know, if they talk to you and say, like, hey, you go to Christian Life, oh yeah, you guys are the ones that read the Bible just an awful lot. I mean, you're just always reading your Bible. I mean, that would be amazing. And the second thing that I want to, you know, kind of as a challenge this year, is using the Holy Spirit, using the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel sometimes, and this is, once again, I'm talking to myself here, I too often don't realize the power that's available to me in reading the Word and using the Holy Spirit. I just read this book on deliverance. It was this guy who has this phenomenal prison ministry, and he is going into prisons, and I think, and this book will blow your mind. It's kind of on the outside edges of my reading of what I usually do, but this guy, I think, has cast out 25,000 demons. You know, and you're sitting there thinking, like, oh, let's not talk about that in church. You know, that's good for his ministry. But I was reading this book and I was like, man, we have this same power that he does. His name is Dave Dickerman. He's 70-some years old, been doing this in Texas for, you know, he's been doing this for years and years. And he has this incredible, and he doesn't have any different power than you and I have. He has the Holy Spirit living in him, but he goes out there and he challenges these strongholds that are in people's lives. And his thing that he brought out in his book that really challenged me is, as a Christian, we cannot be possessed by a demon, but we can have demons have strongholds in our lives. There can be things that we have allowed a demon to have in our life that is holding us back from living to our full potential. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, the church in America today, in most part, has not encapsulated the power of the Holy Spirit to challenge that, to kick that out. Because, you know, the enemy, he is a defeated foe. Really, if you look at what the devil is, he is not in this battle with God. God is far superior. He's a created being that God created. Who he's in a battle with is you. And he has his minions, he has his demons out there. And so I believe that that's what's holding us back. So that's just, you know, I know these are, I just feel that, like, that's something that as a church I want to just really push from across the pulpit in small groups, that we use the power of the Holy Spirit. And we start out with reading the Word of God, getting the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to radically change your life. Because it started, like, I can feel like what I've been reading, what I've been praying about, it's starting to change mine. So, and I like what Robo said. He is like, you know, he doesn't like setting these kind of goals for resolutions and stuff like that, because it ends up, you know, you get in through January and February, and you're, let's say maybe you're going to read the Bible in a year. And you're cruising along, and you get through Genesis and Exodus, because those are the fun story type things. And then you hit Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you're like, man, this has nothing in it for me. I don't even know why it's in the Bible. And by, you know, then springtime sort of hits, and we got a lot of outside work, and it kind of tails off. And the next thing you know, we've abandoned it for the 17th year in a row that we said we'd read through the Bible, and we didn't. So I want to, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a challenge, but also we want to make it palatable. We want to make it doable. Where if you're going to read the Bible, you're going to do it, we want to do it in a way that is tangible, we're going to have achievable goals and stuff like that. So why should we read the Bible? And I think there's a ton of reasons to read the Bible. Actually, probably could talk a whole, you know, this whole message on why we should read the Bible. Guys, if you want to pull up the graphic, I found a graphic that I thought was pretty interesting about reading the Bible, and they'll pull it up there, but it gives you some highlights of what it does for a person when they read the Bible. And so here it shows that studies show that people who read their Bible, and this is just four times a week, so this is about half your week. It says loneliness drops 38%, anger issues drop about 32%, bitterness in relationships drop 40%, alcoholism drops 57%, feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%, viewing porn drops 61%. Sharing your faith increases 200%, and discipling others increases 238%. So, and this is just kind of, I would say, a sampling. There was this, I think it was Barnuman that did this survey, and this is what they'd ask a bunch of people who were consistently reading their Bible. And if you look up at there, it's like, those are all things that, man, that's incredible. Those are high percentage numbers, and that's what reading your Bible can do for you. And you know what? That's really just the beginning. I've had people come up to me and they've asked me, like, you know, God, I want God to speak to me. What does God want for me? What's his will in my life? And the best answer that I can give you is pick up your Bible and start reading it. Because every answer to every question that you have is actually found in the Bible. So I'm going to ask you the question, how do we learn to love reading the Bible? Okay, maybe you could look at yourself and say, you know what, I don't even enjoy reading. I don't like reading. I'm not a good reader. It's just not something that's me. And so how do we get to love reading the Bible, or is it even possible? So if you open your Bibles actually to the middle of your Bible, you're going to come to Psalms 119. It's actually the largest chapter in the Bible. It has, I think, over 176 verses. But if you start to read through these verses. This entire chapter, all 176 verses, is David just expressing his love for God's word. In fact, he wrote this entire chapter of how much he loves God's word. If you look at verse 10, it says, "With my whole heart I will seek you. I've stored up," some translations say, "hidden your word in my heart. I delight in your testimonies. I delight in your commandments." Verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law." Verse 162 says, "Your law is my delight. I delight in this." And verse after verse, we find David glorying in the wonder and splendor of God's word. Because, you know, he was so passionate about it. Because it was his connection between him and God. And this was written, if you think about it, 1,000 years before Christ even came to earth. So step one is developing this love for reading God's word. And I'll be honest with you, it didn't come easy for me. You know, this is kind of almost embarrassing to say because I became a pastor, I think it was in 2017, but like I said, 2020 was when I really started having this feeling like where if I wouldn't read my Bible, I actually missed it. I was like, man, I feel like something's missing in my life. And, you know, up until that point, I had read it sporadically, or I read it when I knew I was going to be preaching. I'd be like, okay, well, I mean, I'm preaching on Sunday, so I got to read my Bible. And I know that some of you don't have that luxury. Maybe I should make it so that you preach here. Like, we'll take random people out of the audience and make you read your Bible so you can preach off of it. But that's just how it was. And I kind of just resigned myself to the fact that that's how life was. And part of it, I think it was because I grew up with the Bible always around me. I went to a private school. I had a Bible class every day in the school. In fact, we did a ton of scripture memory. I think we were supposed to memorize a chapter a week. And there were shorter chapters, but like we did a lot of Bible memory. And in fact, as a detention punishment, we were supposed to write out Bible verses when we got in trouble. I went to our school board and I said, you know what, doing all this, writing all these verses out has given me a bad taste for the Bible. And I got it changed. Not realizing that I was kind of telling on myself that I was the one writing out all these verses. And they switched over to writing out dictionary pages. So if you need definitions between A through C in the dictionary, I got you covered. I wrote a lot of those out. But one thing I think is what I was missing is that God wants me to love and desire his word. And it's not just like it's just not a personal thing for myself. But God wants us to love his word. And I want you to think of it like this. The author of the book, which ultimately the book is about God, and he has inspired it through the Holy Spirit, but he actually gave you a guide to help you in understanding and loving his word. He wants you to know him, so he sent his Holy Spirit to act as this guide and interpreter. So, but he can't really help you if you never open up your Bible. So the first key is to open up the Bible. And I think loving the Word of God is not just a 20th century problem. It's not just something that we experience today. If you look back at the children of Israel, there was many times that they struggled to stay committed to God and his Word. They would slip back and they would fall back into idolatry, and then they'd have a prophet show up, and this prophet would start out by saying, "Thus saith the Lord," because that's how you knew it was from God. And he would preach to them, and he would say, "This is what God wants for you." And the people would listen, or sometimes they didn't listen, and they would turn away. But if you want to think about a group of people that probably, if they would have any distaste for the Word of God, it had to have been like maybe a prophet. You think of Amos or Ezekiel. They would come to this nation of Israel, and they would preach to them, and they had to preach very hard things. But these people, these prophets, actually loved the Word of God. In fact, this is what Amos said. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." And I think it's something that incredibly interesting is happening here, that God actually prescribed a spiritual famine that happened with the children of Israel. They were going through this really prosperous time, and then they were captured by the Assyrians. This was during the time, I think, of Rehoboam II. And they were captured, and God actually gave this drought, while that they said that you're not going to hear the word of the Lord, you're not going to hear anything from me. And in the early years, that when they were enjoying all the good things that God blessed them, they were kind of like sluggish. They weren't really committed to the word of the Lord. And then once they were taken captive, all of a sudden it was like, hey, we cry out to God, we need help. And so there's a lot of parallels from the history of the Israelites to today. You know, we enjoy a really good, prosperous nation. You know, we have a lot of things. We have, in fact, we have a ton of Bibles. I was looking up some stats on Bibles. It says there's an average of 4.7 Bibles per household in the U.S. 88% of the people in the U.S. own a Bible. In fact, if you have a cell phone, most of us are carrying around a Bible everywhere we go. So we don't really have the excuse. But even though we have Bibles everywhere, actual Bible literacy or people reading the Bible is at an all-time low. They say about 48% of American adults have never read their Bible. And of those 48%, they're completely disengaged and never read their Bible. And only about 9% of people interact with their Bible on a daily basis. And those are some pretty low numbers. That's some pretty terrible numbers. And I look at myself, I was like, you know what? I'm probably part of those stats. And one researcher said this. He said, it's actually reached a crisis point, and it's almost like we're living in a famine, where people are starving for the Word of God, even though we have it available in front of us. He said that Christians used to be known as people of the book. They would memorize it, they'd meditate on it, they would talk about it, and they'd teach it to others. But we don't do that anymore, and we're in a very literal sense starving ourselves to death. That was part of the research when they were looking for people who read the Bibles. And there's a lot of things that contribute to that. Modern society, there's been a distrust of organized religion. You say, well, people that go to church, they're just faking it, or they're not real, they're not true, they're hypocrites. There's all kinds of excuses there. There's been a real push with self-reliance. I can do things on my own. I don't need the Word of God. I don't need the Holy Spirit to help me. There's been a push with, if you think of social media distractions, entertainment distractions, we have sports, we have all these things that take up our time. And there's even this addiction to busyness, even if we're not doing all this other stuff. We're busy. We're packing our life just full of things. Look at your calendar once and see all the things that you've packed into it. And you leave very little room for reading the Bible. And to my shame as well, I do the same thing. So whatever the reason is, we seem to be living in a similar time to that of prosperous Israel. And even though we have the Word of God at our fingertips, it's sometimes hard to read it. But we do have a history of believers whose love for God manifested themselves in the love for His Word. And you see this, once again, one of the prophets. This is Jeremiah 15:16. And I really love this imagery that he says here. He says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." So even though Jeremiah was preaching this very difficult message, he said he took the words of God and he ate them, and they were a joy and a delight to him. And Ezekiel had the same experience. This was God calling him. This is what he said. "Then he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all of my words which I speak to you, and listen closely." And I kind of get fired up listening to or reading that. Because here Ezekiel is so passionate about it. He said, you know what, I'm just loving and delighting in the Word of God, and it tastes sweet in my mouth. And I'm delighting in this. And I think if we look at the Bible through this lens of this beautiful, sweet thing that delights our soul, that delights our hearts, we're going to start to love our Bible. So how do we get started? Well, the first step is you need to get a Bible, right? It starts with getting a Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, get one. And if you need advice on what kind of Bible to get, I'm going to give you a couple. I would say start out with one that's easy to understand. The ESV, we preach out of that one here at church. We read out of that one, I'd say, is a good translation. There's the NIV, New King James. You know, get a Bible that you're going to be able to understand when you read it. Sometimes there's translations a little bit harder. I would do that. A lot of times I'll read in the New Living Translation, then I'll cross-reference with my ESV. So it kind of is my reading Bible and then my study Bible. So also, if you want to find a good study guide, there's a lot of Bibles that have a study guide built right into them. And I think that's really important when it comes to reading your Bible. And then what I want you to do is pick a reading plan. And this is where I think you should pick a plan that's not going to just overwhelm you. Don't pick a plan that you're going to sit there and say, well, man, I have to read like 4 or 5 chapters every week or every day. Or, you know, pick something that's doable that gets you started. Because I found that anything in life, whether I'm working out, training for a race, doing whatever, if I don't get out and start it and do it in a manageable step, I'm probably never going to do it. That's just kind of what it is. Think of this as a competition. This is the most important competition in your life. You're training for eternity. And you want your training to be well because you're reading the word that God gave you. And it's the way he speaks to you. The other thing I want you to do is pray. And John Piper puts it like this, and I really like this. He said, prayer is the open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. Prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in confidence that he'll provide the help that we need. And you might say to yourself, well, God should know that I need his help when I'm reading the Bible. He should just know that intuitively. But really what prayer is this act of faith. Prayer is an act of faith because it's saying, God, I'm not good enough to do this on my own. I got to humbly come to you, and you have to help me understand your word. So there's a couple things that I want you to pray. I think we should pray for understanding. When a verse or a passage, we come across these verses that are like, I just don't understand this. We should pray for understanding. Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 1:9. He says, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, if you come across something you don't understand, pray to God. It's like, God, I need to understand this. I don't get it. I need your Holy Spirit. And I'm really convinced of this. I'm convinced that when you ask God to help you understand and learn the Bible, those are the prayers he almost always favorably answers because he wants you to learn. He's not sitting up there thinking, you know, we're going to wait a little bit with you on that. I think God answers those prayers. Those are his top priority ones because he wants you to understand the Bible. Pray for wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. So we can get this wisdom and then we apply it to knowledge. James 1 says, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and will be given to him. This is one too that I was thinking of is pray for the desire. You know, let's say I'm sitting there and I wake up this morning and I slept in and I just don't feel like it. I don't have the desire to read the Word of God. Pray for that desire. I think that's a very honest and earnest prayer. Because God knows, he's like, he knows if you're not reading the Bible, right? I mean, it's not like he's like, oh, God's like sitting up there like, oh, I didn't even know you weren't reading the Bible. No, he knows it. But I think if you pray that you have this desire, like, God, just give me this desire to do it. You know, it's this honest prayer that you're praying. That God's like, I'm gonna reward that. I'm going to answer that prayer. Remember when Jacob was wrestling with God when he was going back to his brother Esau? And Jacob had a hold of God. And he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. How about we start praying a prayer that says, God, I'm not going to stop praying until you give me that desire to love your word. I'm just going to hold on to you. I want that desire. I think that'd be an amazing prayer to pray. And the other one is pray for enjoyment. We tend to do what we enjoy. You know, like sometimes, you know, you're reading the Bible and it feels almost like a drudgery or a task or a chore you're trying to accomplish. But I think if we pray for enjoyment, I want to enjoy reading your Bible. I want to enjoy reading the Word of God. I think that's a desire that God is going to grant us. And the other one is pray for change. The Bible is incredibly powerful, and it changes people's lives. I just finished reading up a book that had the story of David Berkowitz in it. David Berkowitz, most of you probably don't know him, but he was a serial killer back in the 1970s that terrorized New York City. And he killed, I think, 6 people and got thrown in prison. He has a life sentence of 365 years. But while he was in prison, a guy gave him a Gideon New Testament. And he started reading this Bible. And first he laughed it off. And this David Berkowitz was actually a satanic, or he is a Satan worshiper. He was hardcore evil to the core. And when this guy gave him the Bible, he kind of laughed at him and says, "You don't know who I am. I kill people. I am an evil person. Nobody loves me. Everyone hates me." And he read in Psalms 34, verse 6. He read this verse. And this is a powerful verse. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." So imagine you're sitting in prison. You have 365 years in prison. And you read a verse like that. And he said, "My heart just broke. Because I'm that poor man. And I did not believe that God could actually help me." And he changed his life. And right now, David Berkowitz is still in prison. He has been denied parole, I think, 12 times. But he has the most incredible prison ministry of about anybody in prison. And the prisoners, the officials and all that, they love it because he is changing lives of people in prison because he stopped and read this word of God. "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." That's the power of the word of God. It changes people's lives. So when you pray that it can change you. Psalms 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Because the word of God can change you. David had asked God to change him, and we should too. I think it's an earnest, rightful prayer that we should pray. Make time to read the Bible. Sometimes you have to carve out time. And other things are going to get in the place of it. You're just going to have to make the time. There's a lot of things in your life that are vying for your time. Make time to read the Bible. We do the things that are important to us. If I offered you $1 million to read your Bible every day for a year, I guarantee you most of you would take me up on that challenge, right? You'd all be waving your hands and holding me to it. Now think about this. The God of the universe, who controls all the wealth in the world, wants to communicate with you through the Word of God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate back and forth with you. And he has all the money that you could possibly want. Why would we not want to communicate with him? Why would we not want to read the word with him? So I think pick a time, create a habit, find a quiet place. I do a lot of driving, and for me it's kind of a great place where I used to listen to a ton of music. I listened to, my Spotify rap was off the charts with music. I listen to a lot of Bible now. And I still listen to music. I kind of put it back and forth, but when I'm driving, I'll throw it up there and I'll listen to a couple chapters and just meditate on that. Because it's my time when I can do that. And I think, we have to create space to read our Bibles, to listen. Remove distractions. And this one can be a tough one for me. I have a mild case of ADHD. My kids say it's severe, but I think it's mild. I can't do one thing for a really long time. My mind just goes all over the place. Want to check my phone, or there's a squirrel in the yard, or the lawn needs mowing, and then it just keeps going on and on from there, and I think of all the things that I should be doing. So sometimes I think you have to quiet your mind and remove distractions. So I hope this has challenged you a bit. I think one of the things is, to recap it, is get out and get started. Get your Bible. Pick a plan that works for you. And maybe it's reading 4 or 5 verses a day. Maybe it's reading 2 or 3 verses a day. But I would say, get out there and study and start to study. And this is an exhaustive topic. I could probably preach for a couple months on reading your Bible. But I try to do it in one 30-minute session so that I can inspire you to go into this new year. And you don't have to wait to this new year. You can start today. You can start tomorrow. But get in there and start reading your Bible. We're going to face a lot of new distractions in 2025. We think, 2024, it had its share of things. But 2025 is going to be just as crazy, and we don't even know what all is going to happen there. But don't lay it off. Don't give God the short end of the stick. Life is too short, and eternity is too long to mess this up. So don't feel overwhelmed with it. Don't feel like, you're walking out of here and it's like, I don't even know what to do. Open the word and take the first bite. They do the old adage where eat an elephant one bite at a time. This Bible, it's big, and sometimes it can be intimidating. But find a book of the Bible that you're like, okay, I really wanted to study this. John is a great one. Find one where you can get into and just start studying it. Pray that God would give you the strength and courage to love and desire his word. I think if we go through those steps, we're going to get this appreciation that we are going to love the word of God. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, as we come before you right now and we have your word in front of us, we have the story of God in front of us, and we can read that at any time we want. Help us not take it for granted. Help us, give us this desire to look into your word, just a desire to love your word, and that we make it a top priority in our life. And I know there's so many things that are distracting us, that the devil doesn't want us to read it. He wants to put as many distractions as he can in front of us. Dear God, I just pray for each person here that they would leave here with, that they would have purpose and determination, that they're going to make it a priority to read your word. Because the word has life, and it's life-changing. And every person here, you know, we have, our lives need to be changed. We thank you so much for your son Jesus and what he did for us. And we thank you for the fact that we get to enjoy heaven with you eternally. We just pray for this church. Just bless it, dear God, as we go from here. We ask this all in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.